Sandhyamana etasmin.
Sandhyamana etasmin.
Maya bhuyata niyamita.
Maya bhuyata niyamita.
Shikram vineshu vidura.
Shikram vineshu vidura.
Kesha gyanodaye yata.
Kesha gyanodaye
yata. Word for translation. Sandhyamana.
Sandhyamana.
While joining to his bow.
Etasmin,
this Narayanastra. Sorry, Narayanastra Mayaha. The illusions. Kriyakanimita. Created by the Yakshas. Shipram. Very soon. Vineshu. Were destroyed. Vidura.
Oh,
Vidura. Kesha,
just
adds. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As soon as Dhruva Maharaj joined the Narayanastra arrow to his bow, the illusion created by the Yakshas was immediately vanquished, just as all material pains and pleasures are vanquished when one becomes fully cognizant of the Self. Purport. Krishna is like the sun, and Maya, or the illusory energy of Krishna, is like darkness. Darkness means absence of light. Similarly, Maya means absence of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness and Maya are always there side by side. As soon as there is awakening of Krishna consciousness, all the illusory pains and pleasures of material existence are vanquished. Mayam etam tarantike. Constant chanting of the Maha Mantra will keep us always aloof from the illusory energy of Maya. Om Ajnanatim Nandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Amrita Minatis Maishi Guru Maha Mukham Kuruti Vachalam Pangam Gaiti Grinyatam Maham Vandeshi Gurum Divatara Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare So Dhruva Maharaj has been giving a specific arrow following the events that just happened in terms of his brother going on a hunting excursion and getting killed, and his mother of course immediately joining him. So out of it is natural for the Kshatriyas to fight, especially taking on revenge after a brother or after anyone has been unceremoniously attacked or killed. So Dhruva Maharaj, in his anger, is going after the Yakshas who have killed his brother unceremoniously. So in this is the context that we're coming into, and this is being narrated at the moment. So in the purport, it explains a very important point that our material pains and pleasures are vanquished when one becomes fully cognizant of the Self. And in the purport, it further elaborates how in the presence of Krishna, there is no darkness. So where Maya cannot enter, where Krishna is being present or is around or is fully manifested. So we might think, okay, my material pains and pleasures are still going on. It is, this verse doesn't mean that we're not going to get the Adi Admitka, Adi Devika, and Adi Bhautika kleshas. Part of the material world, part of the material body, is that it comes with a certain design and package, and part of it is that we will have miseries that will be caused by the body, the mind, other living entities, and nature that is around us. So these are not the material pains that are going to cease when one becomes fully cognizant. These things will come and go. It's part of having a material body. So we shouldn't curse Krishna, get upset that, oh, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I still have painful aches and pains in my body, or I still have these distresses that are inflicted upon me by the world that we live in, etc. These things are infinitesimal in comparison to the real problem of material existence, and that is having a material body altogether, which is a result of our forgetfulness of Krishna. In order to forget Krishna, Krishna has to design a material destination for us to go and be in illusion. This is the biggest problem. The biggest problem is not that we have mind control issues or we have weak bodies, etc. This is not the biggest problem, really. The biggest problem is that we're in forgetfulness of Krishna and we're acting as if we are the controllers or the doers of everything. But these material pains and pleasures are caused by an illusory state of existence. So, for example, Prabhupada often say one thinks he's European, he's American, he's black, he's white, etc. These are material designations. I am a white woman, I am a black woman, an Indian woman, whatever it may be. These are designations that are given by the material nature. They are not permanent identities. These are not our permanent identities at all. They are so temporary and they can change in a minute. These days with technology, you can become any gender you want. You can have any tone of skin tone that you would like. You can change your eye color from surgery. You can fix your teeth. You can have implants anywhere. Right, these things can change. The external manifestation can unnaturally change. And when I say unnaturally change, these are not the bodies that we came in with. These are not the bodies that Mother Nature has given us. But with modern science, we can manipulate these things. So the external covering is not really the real identity of the living entity. Because we can change it at any minute. So it's very common, I know in India as well, you know, these fair skin creams, I'm sure you're all aware of it. Everyone wants a fair skin tone. I don't know what's going to change, but in your life, if you have a fair skin tone, but it's all about, you know, the fairer, the better, they have all these actors putting it on, whatnot. It even happens in Korea, in Asia, the lighter you are, the better economic status you have, the better chances you have of having a partner because your skin is lighter. Or if you're a man, the more muscular you appear, you're a real man, etc. So all these things are very, very temporary, they're futile in the bigger scheme of things. And they cause different types of pain and pleasure. Right, your skin burns so much when you apply all these creams in order to walk out looking beautiful and stunning. I'm not against makeup, I'm just saying. I'm just stating a few examples. I'm not against anyone putting secondary existence. Our relationship with Krishna is of secondary existence. We become in the different occupations, the body is test, that the deeper we dive into that which is not, the deeper we dive into the maya of the material body being the real identity of the jiva, the more difficult it becomes for us to escape the cycle of repeated bodies, repeated birth and death. So anything that we attempt with this mentality brings pain and different types of pleasure. But it has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. They're not spiritual activities that are going to elevate our consciousness. They will steep us lower into a lower form of pleasure afflicted by ecstatic, then the rest we forget about Krishna. Fully cognizant means our actions also follow what fully cognizant means. Everything that we do and our lifestyle altogether is centered around remembering Krishna. So it is said here that wherever there is Krishna, there cannot be any maya or illusion. So if we educate ourselves on who Krishna is, we'll understand who we are, and that is the process of self-realization. Not only do you understand the self, the spiritual identity of the self, but you understand your source and the relationship you have with that source. So you understand who Krishna is, in touch, Bala, in truth, and how we are related to Krishna. We are of the same quality. We are also Satchitananda, that is the qualities of the soul. So Krishna is the supreme. That pose has already been taken. No amount of meditation can actually make us God. God is already there. Post has been occupied since time immemorial. But what we can do by the process of bhakti, we align ourselves and we try to realize what our relationship to Krishna is. And by building on that relationship, the maya is dissipated, the illusion falls off. And this is why it is mentioned that where there is Krishna, there cannot be any darkness. Krishna is like the light, and maya is like darkness. So wherever there is light, there cannot be any darkness. So the more we integrate Krishna into our lives, really, the more in knowledge we will be of ourselves, of the world that we live in, and our activities will change depending on our realization of Krishna. So of course, material pains and pleasures are always going to be there because we have a material body. No matter how much we try to alter or halt the state of the body will continue to behave as it is meant to. The body will have a beginning, middle, and an end, but the soul will continue. So our main interest really is how to become fully cognizant of the self while we're still in this body, so that when we exit the body, we know what our destination is and we are not fearful because we know the destination. Only when we are not in knowledge of something do we become fearful, because we do not know the destination, we do not know what we're entering into, so fear must be there. But when there is knowledge of the reality of the spiritual world, the spiritual domain, and how to get there, then there is no fear, because we are under the protection of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that Krishna consciousness and maya are always there side by side. We know that maya is an energy, is an inferior energy of Krishna. And because we, by nature, we are of a superior nature when we are in unison with Krishna. The minute we choose to forget about Krishna, this very powerful energy covers our intelligence, it covers our scope of discrimination, and it hides the ability of the soul to reconcile its true identity. So by ourselves, really, we cannot succeed against the illusory energy. It is very, very overwhelming. But on our own, we cannot fight Maya. It's not like you can get into a boxing ring and just punch Maya's lights out and you're victorious. It is Krishna's energy. And it has a purpose in this material world to bewilder, to put down, and to cover the living entity, because the living entity has a desire to forget Krishna. And therefore there's an energy created to assist. But there's also energy that is created. Krishna's own pleasure potency is there in the holy name, in the process of bhakti. And it is there for those living entities who would like to re-establish their connection with Krishna. So when Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita explains this energy, he explains that this is actually my energy. He says, this is my maya. I have created this energy and therefore I control it. And maya is always subservient to the Supreme Lord. It is always, the maya potency is inferior by nature. The living entity, which is Tathagata, means it has because of our free will and our independence, we can get swayed to forget Krishna or be in relationship with Krishna. So Tathasa Shakti, it is what you and I are made of in the image of Krishna, but our free will and our independence sometimes land us in the material world. And in order to get out of the material world, to break free from the cycle of karma, the laws of the universe, we have to approach Krishna. And Krishna is the designer of this domain that we are in. He knows how we got in and he knows how we can get out. And therefore Krishna has designed a system through the Vedic texts and processes to help us get out of material existence, get out of the darkness and into the light. It's like Krishna Surya Sam, Maya Kaya Andhakara. Krishna is like the sun and Maya is darkness. So we want to approach that light, we want to live and exist with knowledge, not with ignorance. So when we approach Krishna, the pains and pleasures of material existence, which is having to take on one body after the other, having to go through a repeated cycle of birth and death, old age and disease, it comes to a stop. The process of bhakti actually helps us connect with our true self. It helps us become self-cognizant. It allows us to see Krishna in his pure tattva as the supreme. As Lord Brahma has explained in the Bala Samhita, that he is the one Purusha, he is the only male, and he is a supreme controller. So by understanding these facts, our material pains and pleasures are going to be vanquished when we take on the process of bhakti. So the main material pains and pleasures that we have, apart from our everyday adi-atmika, adi-devika situations, escaping the cycle altogether of repeated bodies, repeated suffering, having the illusion of thinking, I am man, I am woman, I am born in this country, in this body, etc. These are all temporary, futile identities. These are the main pains and pleasures that we go through. Why it gives pain? Because it binds us to the world. And why it gives pleasure? Because we get to enjoy certain amenities we either have, well, we come from good families, we have some amount of beauty, some fame, some wealth, we have stronger bodies, etc. So the pleasure, the pain and the pleasure exist simultaneously. But it is still temporary. It is never lasting. And the reason why material existence, as you see it out there, is always offering something new. I don't know if you notice this. There's always something new and improved coming out of the same stock. So Apple began with what? Now we have X. What's the latest Apple gadget? X? X, there'll be Y, there'll be Z, Q, I don't know. But it's the same thing, few modifications, either the phone is longer or wider. You have all these cool widgets on them, you have a million apps, whatever. Maybe there's 64 gigabytes in the next one, and you'll be able to hold your phone and it can, maybe by the touch of your hand, you unlock your phone. Or next time, eye recognition. Just do this and you unlock your phone. But the phone is doing the same thing. You just want to call, text, go on WhatsApp, check your Facebook, Instagram, emails. I don't know who sends faxes through their phone or whatever. But it's doing the same thing. It's presented differently. You have Apple, there's Samsung, there's all sorts of phones out there. So all these things, these are different ways, these are ways of entrapment. When our mind becomes entrapped, oh, I have to get this, this is the latest, you really don't need it. But it is in your faith. The material world, material energy functions in such a way that you're always kept busy and you're always given stimulation. You have to get this, you have to look like this, you have to behave like this, you have to do X, Y, Z. Which stops people on the track of just thinking about the most important things in life. I'm not saying don't get a good phone. I'm just saying don't be controlled by that gadget. Don't let it take you away from your progress and focus on moving towards Krishna. So yesterday we were at Owen Yoga, I was speaking to a few guests, Australian, and they were talking about trying to start a spiritual life and just how intimidating it is that you want to stop intoxication and everybody thinks you're crazy for not wanting to be in intoxication. So they're asking questions, how does one start? How do I begin on this path? Because out there, you know, the energy is quite intense. It is difficult to try and do it on your own. And that is the truth. So we spoke about having devotee association, of course in a manner, in a language they can understand, associating with like-minded persons who will help you on your path, learning how to chant Hare Krishna on these. These are ways to introduce Krishna in our lives and trying to eat and honor Krishna prasadam. So these, they look like small, tiny steps one makes in their life, but these are very big steps that you're putting Krishna into your life. You're trying to run away from this external energy that is very powerful, that binds you to illusion. So when we constantly chant the holy name, which is the most important, I would say, what keeps us in relationship with Krishna at this point is developing our taste for chanting his name. So chanting it is very, very important. And many persons I spoke to yesterday, they were saying, well, I can't chant 16 rounds, it's so intimidating. I've been told to chant 16 rounds. And because they find it a huge, you know, task, they stop chanting altogether. If I can't chant 16, then I'm not going to chant. And then I'm like, hey, whoa, stop. You can start chanting from any number of rounds. So I told them the story of Devamita Swami, how he started chanting on one beat a day. And then as in one beat, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Done. For the day. Done my Hare Krishna meditation, that's it. That's how he started chanting. Because I was living in a tent, because I was the only person there doing it. Insecure and nervous. And the mind will pray tricks on you, oh, this is too difficult. It is not for you, you will never achieve this, just quit while you're ahead. And I just remember saying to myself, oh well, I'll just keep chanting my one round a day. So I explained to them, you don't have to chant 16 rounds from day one, you can gradually chant and increase your number of rounds. As your taste increases, your rounds will also increase. So there was some hope. Some people were very inspired, like, okay, that sounds much better. I can't do 16, but I'll start with something that I can maintain and gradually increase. So like the chanting the holy name, the Maha's Maya is not infiltrating. Just because we're in the four walls of the temple doesn't mean you cannot be in Maya. It is everywhere. It is in our heads, in our minds. Wherever we go, the illusory energy is there. But we have to build our immunity. When someone has a disease, or if someone doesn't want to suffer from diseases, they make sure that their immune system is strong. So whatever bad bacteria comes towards the body, whatever fungus or viral infection they might come into contact with, their body is immune. They have a strong immunity. So similarly, when we're living in this mature world, majority we're working, students, you're in contact with non-devotional personalities and non-devotional circumstances. And the way we can build our strength is to chant Hare Krishna. We'll be immune to all the negative influences that we will see on a daily basis. There is a very easy way of seeing just how by constantly chanting the holy name, by constantly having Krishna, or in this case, Dhruva Maharaj was giving this arrow by Narayan, by the Lord. He was always in Krishna consciousness, or he was protected because he's under the shelter of the Lord. So we can also protect ourselves, build our immunity by taking to this chanting of the Maha Mantra, and in that way we're keeping the illusion at bay. We can push it away. So what we have to do is awaken our Krishna consciousness by one of the processes, not all the processes of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam. All the 9 processes of bhakti, we can use all of them, and that is the way in which we can awaken our Krishna consciousness. So we already studied that this morning. There was chanting, there was hearing. We use our body. We're here at the temple. We're worshipping the deity. We're hearing the glories of the Lord. So all these ways, all these processes are meant to awaken our relationship with Krishna. It is not just a mechanical formality that, oh yeah, we just mechanically go to the temple because I have to go. Initially, I'm sure it might end up as, it might start up, oh, I have to go to the temple, it is good for me. But as we grow and as we develop our knowledge of Krishna, we want to go and see Krishna. I don't know if it happens to you, but at some point during the week, I just have to come and see Krishna. I have to. And just entering the temple or just seeing devotees, there's a relief in it, right? Because seeing, being in a holy place like this temple, there's spiritual energy, and that energy is very nurturing for the pure soul. We might not be fully cognizant of our real self. We might still be on the body platform of life, identifying as a man, woman, or whatever. But when we come into contact with the deities, with the devotees of the Lord, who are always carrying Krishna in their hearts and through their words and activities, there is relief. We feel the strength and we come and use our body in the service of the Lord. So our eyes get purified, our senses are getting purified. So it's a very important meditation that we can have. Throughout the day, we see a picture of the Lord, or we're hearing topics of the Lord before we begin our day, and that carries us through. And oftentimes, I'll always try to remember what the deities are wearing. Right, any time of day, 12 or 2 o'clock, I'm just thinking, oh, what is Krishna wearing today? And I'm amazed. Sometimes I cannot remember. And I feel so sad. I saw Krishna this morning. I can't remember what he's wearing. So now I make considerable effort. Okay, meditate on what Krishna is wearing. What flowers were on his feet, and what was his turban like, or Gorni tie, or Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. And like this, we get into a habit of always trying to remember Krishna, trying to keep Krishna in our hearts, in our minds constantly. So I'll read the translation again and see if there's any questions. As soon as Jiva Maharaj joined the Narayanashtra hour to his goal, the illusion created by the yakshas was immediately vanquished, just as all material pains and pleasures are vanquished when one becomes fully cognizant of the self. Any comments or questions? Mahatma Prabhu.
Why do we vaccinate and use service?
Why do we?
Vaccine and veiling.
Why do we sometimes jai nitai go hai go and at times are up in the room? No, it's too hard, it's too difficult. Waxing and veiling. Well, everything begins with attentiveness to what we're doing. How attentive are we to hearing the holy name? And sometimes after practicing for a period of time, we may become familiar with the process. So when we become familiar with the process, it's, oh yeah, it's just Swarup giving Bhagavatam class. I've heard it so many times. I'll wait to hear someone else. Oh yeah, it's just Kirtan, or it's just the festival. Oh yeah, I'll go another time. Or it's just the Bhagavatam class. The spiritual activities, they're always dynamic. So although you might be hearing from the same speaker, because they're speaking Bhagavatam or they're repeating the words of Srila Prabhupada, it is always different. It is never it's never stale. Spiritual life is always dynamic. And when we become lackadaisical, we become casual in our practice, then we're not tasting Krishna. then it becomes a painful affair. Oh, I have to do this. I have to do my service. I'm going to have to chant and I have to do this. So sometimes it feels boring. And that is because our attention to the process has slackened. We're not as attentive in our japa. We're not as attentive, which will naturally translate into all the other services that we do. Everything really begins from our chanting of the holy name. All our strength and our attention and desire begins from how attentive we are to chanting the holy name. And of course, avoiding offenses and not trying to improve on our Krishna consciousness. So sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down because we might be inattentive, we might be committing offenses. And that's why it's always good to educate ourselves about the 10 offenses to the holy name. It is always good to educate ourselves and see, where am I in my Krishna consciousness? And Ekadashi, my spiritual master always tells me, Ekadashi is a good time to always reflect and see, where are you in your Krishna consciousness? Take stock of your senses. Where are you in terms of your chanting, your hearing, your reading of Srila Prabhupada's books? This is where we get our sustenance, actually. The most important, five potent forms of devotional service, we know it's hearing, it's chanting, worshipping the deity, residing in a holy place, and there's one more. Association of devotees. So if we take these five things, when they slacken, we might become weak. And that's why our devotional service might be... So we think, okay, am I taking association? Am I reading properly? Am I connecting with the deity form of the Lord? What is my chanting like? So we take stock of stabilize. And gradually, every time we try to increase our intensity to serve Krishna, by hearing from advanced devotees, heart and legacy in these books, so we can associate with Srila Prabhupada through his purpose every single day. And this is the consciousness. And also trying to give Krishna is something that is extremely, how do I say, it is so enlightening to give Krishna to others. It is absolutely enlightening to share Krishna consciousness with someone else. And that is what keeps us extremely enthused. You know, like last night, talking to people about Krishna, seeing their enthusiasm to hear, taking books and learning about the process of bhakti, how to apply it in their lives. It is so enlightening that you walk away thinking, this process is amazing. These people are coming to Krishna and they're so appreciative. And internally, there's a pleasure that comes from glorifying Krishna. There's an instant pleasure sensation that comes from glorifying Krishna, from giving Krishna to others instantly. You feel all the strength and confidence, enthusiasm and determination to continue in your own practice because you are giving, you're sharing Krishna with others. We're not only interested in keeping Krishna for ourselves, but we want to share with whomever we meet Krishna consciousness. And when we do that, you'll see that your Krishna consciousness will steadily rise. The more you give Krishna, the more nectar you get back. And when you get back more, you want to give more. And it continues like that. So always striving to have those five potent forms of devotional service, and most importantly, trying to give Krishna to others as much as we can. That's how we can avoid the yo-yo effect of, Jaya, this is great, and oh, this is too difficult, this kind of is just, it's not in this lifetime. We can avoid that. Hope that makes sense. Yes, bro?
What did you mention about the material concepts, you know, attachment to the material things and also the bodily concept?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in practicing the spiritual, we hear that, you know, probably the Prabhupada also emphasized on the fact that it is not the body of the soul. Now, on practical level, it's also because of a condition.
Mm-hmm.
this?
How to work on
coming out of this condition?
On the bodily concept? Hare Krishna. But because of when you switch it off, that emotion will still be there. It doesn't mean that it's still, we're not plugged into the material scheme of things, but the residue effect of having been like that for countless births, the residue effect is still there, but it will come to a stop. But not to get demotivated by it, to keep trying. So practical things that we can do on a daily basis, as I mentioned, the first thing is to actually realize the souls of Krishna. These are small, actually, these are mistakes. How do we see, most of us were at some time, at least for myself, so I can identify that these persons are still on the body concept of life, and I'm slowly getting out of it. So I move away from the body concept of life. As we read Srila Prabhupada's books and as we perform devotional service, the realization will come that actually my body is not that great. You get to realize very quickly, especially when you have some sickly situation in the body, that the body is just terrible. It's not great. The body has changed over the years. It's not as strong as it used to. Right. So on a daily basis, actually we get reminded that the body is not great. But because it happens so often, we see it as a normal state of affairs. Oh, the body is going to do this. Oh, these are just normal things. But when you make the conscious effort and realize and pinpoint, yeah, these are the frailties of the material body. My eyesight is not as good anymore. My hearing is going. Maybe it's not the wampus, but my body is just, the body in Kali Yuga is just weakening. We get to see the frailties that are being discussed in the books. But we have the same valor, we have the same determination, the same enthusiasm, but the body is not allowing us maybe to pursue that. So we can see, yes, this is just the body. The body is going through its motions, but I still have the same determination, the same confidence in Krishna, so I continue. So when you make these subtle recognitions in your everyday activities, you start to see I'm actually different from the body. The body is very, very different. And as I mentioned, it's changing over time. You know, we're not 15 years old anymore. Maybe some of you are in this room. But the time factor will start taking things away to us, and that slowly helps you identify the body concept of life. Our attachments, we see them for what they are. An attachment is there for some time, but slowly it should lessen as our attachment for Krishna increases. We understand, yes, there's work life, there's family life, etc., etc. We understand all these things in relation to Krishna. So if we have knowledge about it, knowledge about how not to get entrapped in the attachment and in the illusion, as it happens, we're able to subtly identify it and identify our bodily conceptions, and we know how to not get too attached to that. So when we know of it, we're able to recognize it. But if we do not have knowledge about it, we cannot recognize it. That's why it's very important to read all these books Srila Prabhupada has written, even the small ones, Nectar of Instruction, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. They help us understand all these subject matters, the body platform of life, what that actually means from a gross to a subtle level. And when we know these facts, we're able to recognize them as they happen, and we know the processes to use to extricate ourselves in the long term from the body concept of life. Hope that helps. Any question before we end? So any Maharaji have a question? So everyone is going to try to be above the illusory energy. Yes.
So after that yo-yo effect you're talking about, I was listening to Chaitanya Chandrabhu's lecture.
Yes.
Where he was saying that it's very important to know your triggers and try and stay away from it. So That builds a foundation for you to move forward. Because if you try and keep away from them, what you do, you know this. That helps you.
Know your triggers. Just know our weaknesses.
You know what your trigger points are. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you really attract to so easily. And try your best to stay away from them.
That is why association is very important in every form, whether it's through hearing or physical association with people who are very serious about Krishna consciousness or making advancement. So if I know that I have a weakness for sport, wasting time with sport, not doing any devotional stuff, or wasting time with political affairs, then I can distance myself from such things by maybe attaching myself to an activity or a service that will take me away from that trigger. So we have to really be honest about ourselves and where our desires are and how to go forward, how to move forward, how not to stay in those situations that will trigger us to lose focus or just not be as attentive. If we know we have a thing for watching television all the time, don't have a television at home. If that is your weakness, don't have a TV at home. If it means you're watching more TV than reading Prabhupada's books or doing devotional stuff, don't have it in the home. It's very simple. If you're new to bhakti and you know that you have a weakness, when I was new to bhakti, I had certain weaknesses. When I was around certain friends, they'd be drinking, smoking, all sorts of things. And I knew that was easy for me to fall back in, so I distanced myself. I knew at a certain time, alright guys, it was nice seeing you, but I have to go. I would go and seek other types of association, because I know if I stay, what's going to happen? I'll fall back into the trap. So honesty and understanding where you stand, our weaknesses and our strengths, and being honest about what our weaknesses and strengths are, will help propel you in the right direction. And it requires guidance, so we're always taking guidance from a devotee. We reveal our hearts and our mind in confidence. This is part of the process of Bhakti Yoga given by the Acharyas. One of the loving exchanges is to reveal one's heart in confidence to a devotee that we trust who can help us make progress. So whatever it is that we're going through, we go to this devotee to seek guidance. Not that they will tell us exactly what to do, but we seek guidance and we decide, okay, this is what I will do to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Pancha Lakshmi Padma Tanaki Gaya Shah.